Chisholm. I'm just Chiz Chisholm. I'm Chiz Chisholm. I'm just Chiz Chisholm. I'm Chiz Chisholm. I'm just Chiz Chisholm. I'm Chiz Chisholm. I'm just Chiz Chisholm.
Yeah, ciao, backdrafters. Welcome to Pure Boys Podcast. I'm Chuck and Chiz.
Chuck and Chiz.
Chuck and Chiz. I'm the Chiz, or are you Chuck and Chiz?
I'm Chuck and Chiz.
Chuck and Chiz. So Chuck and...
Chuck,
and then,
Chuck apostrophe lowercase n,
mm-hmm.
Chiz, C-H-I-Z.
I think it needs to have another apostrophe. I'm Steve Creep.
Larry Chiz.
Larry Chiz, giving it all to you and none to me.
Well,
I give everything to you guys.
And I leave nothing on the floor. It all goes out on the court.
Yeah, it's so wet out on the court and then so dry in the locker room, you can't even breathe straight.
Oh, no, no. You feel like you're cleaning up ground zero. You can't even breathe straight because this week...
Oh, my God.
We're talking about...
Is it ground zero up in here?
It's ground zero. We're talking about 2007's I Now Pronounce You Charles Lawrence.
Truckery.
Heroes. Heroes, heroes, heroes. Hero Month comes to its epic conclusion. Boy, wow.
We are finally getting an Adam Sandler, and we're finally getting him at the peak.
True. We're finally watching a progressive movie. Finally, some progression in society.
Yeah, oh, you're definitely thinking comedy and fun,
sure.
And, you know, a lighthearted, tight hour and a half movie, which is why you force your podcasting friend to watch and review this movie. Mm. But instead, you get a thought-provoking 2-hour movie.
Epic.
That stars Jessica Biel.
Oh, I was like, I thought we weren't talking about Seventh Heaven on this show, but here we are talking about a Jessica Biel movie.
Adam Sandler,
yeah.
Kevin James,
yeah.
Jessica Biel,
Ving Rhames.
Vingy Rhames needed to have more of a prominent role in this movie.
I thought he was great. You didn't like his badass tattoo on his ass. Do you think that's a real tattoo?
Yeah, definitely a
of course
tattoo.
It is, yeah.
Definitely his real butt.
Oh,
that's
definitely.
For sure.
They didn't have a butt double for Ving Rhames, man built of granite.
Can't.
No, he's sculpted.
It's impossible.
He's sculpted from clay. He's got Botticelli's buttocks.
Talk about the ninth wonder.
Talk about Ving Rhames.
What a butt. If that was a double butt, there were two excellent butts in that room that day.
True enough. Whomst was the second butt? I got a very important question for you, Steve. Whomst was the second butt?
The second butt was Ving Rhames.
Oh, his actual.
The double, if it was a double.
Right, yeah. Did you like, during that, we're really getting into it here, but did you like how tasteful they shot it so you wouldn't see Ving Rhames' dinger flopping around while he's dancing to I'm Every Woman?
Or his butthole, really. I thought it was expertly shot. This whole movie is expertly shot. Probably had like 18 cinematographers on hand.
Definitely, and definitely had 18 people writing this movie, I would wager.
Very much so. All of them, like, 40 years old and white.
Oh, yeah, and straight. Straight as a friggin' arrow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you think all arrows need to be straight?
I think it's the most efficient way to make an arrow, yeah.
Is that the most important quality of the arrow? Like, the tip at the front basically does nothing, and then the feathers at the back are just for fun.
Yeah, yeah, that's just, that's peacocking.
Exactly, and then, but the straight thing, that's the key to a good arrow.
Pew! That's how you know it's going to hit its mark, is it's straight.
We could go on and on about archery. I think both of us have equally just dreamt and pined for becoming an archer, but have never put ever any effort into it.
No, call me Katniss Legolas, because I know lots about bows and arrows.
They got to be straight.
They got to be straight, and the feathers are just for decoration. You take those feathers off, and while the arrow wouldn't change how the arrow flew, it would change my enjoyment of watching archery, because, God, now it's boring. Where's the flair?
Now it's boring. It used to be cool.
It was awesome before. Why don't darts have feathers on them? And I mean, like, darts that you'd throw at a dartboard, not darts that you smoke to, you know, kill yourself slowly.
Well, they do have the tags at the back that are kind of like feathers, and they are in cool, groovy, tasteful designs.
And they're straight.
Do you think there's a badass in darts?
Yeah.
That has like naughty things on his darts, on his tags?
Oh, that's interesting. I wonder. I don't know. I guarantee you that such a person does exist, and that he weighs 350 pounds and is as English as a disgusting English breakfast. So,
but really good at darts.
Great at darts, yeah. Great. Well, his arm's really strong from beating his wife. You know, he's like a real classic Brit.
I'd like to give a shout out to the show Bully, which is a combination of a general knowledge game show and darts. And it's the best mix of both.
Wow, Bully for you.
Yeah, Bully for us, and the world was greater for having it back in the 90s.
True.
Or 80s.
I don't even know what you're talking about. So yeah. Before we get into more of what you're talking about and, you know, what things are straight and what things should be straight, we need to, of course, do the Pure Boys Prayer.
I didn't even connect the whole straightness to the thing that we were talking
to
about.
To the
anyways,
Chuck and Larry's, yeah.
Clap. God bless our podcast, please.
God bless all podcasts, please. We love you, please. Amen.
Amen.
Or a woman.
A woman.
A or a Chuck and or Larry.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. brother, what a movie this was.
What a movie it was. What a movie it is.
True.
Still.
That hasn't changed. It's still what a movie.
2007, what a time to be alive.
Oh, what a time to be alive. Freshly graduated from high school, ready to take on the world. What's in the theaters? I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. Oh!
Beautiful. Beautiful way to start your summer of freedom and to start your summer of becoming a man.
Exactly. With this movie about the summer of love.
Mm-hmm.
2007. Yeah.
It's really about love.
Yeah, it's really about that hero mayor, Rudy Giuliani. It's mostly about him.
Cleaning up the streets. There was a lot of...
Rudy Giuliani gets a shout-out in this movie, but I'm shocked that he didn't show up in this movie. Like, why wasn't Rudy Giuliani there?
Yeah, maybe he was getting his hair dyed.
Maybe. That's a low blow, all right? Man, he's trying his best out there.
There's only so much hair dye in the store you can get before you have to resort to shoe polish.
Right, yeah, to tar from the road.
I feel like when I'm 70 years old and have gray hair, shoe polish is definitely the way I'm going to go.
Hey.
Like the look of just having a gaunt white face and black as night hair is such a good look.
Oh yeah, the Billy Mays look. The jet black hair, jet black beard, dead at young...
Yeah.
Dead at young.
Orange eyebrows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, orange, you're glad I didn't dye my eyebrows is what he would used to say.
I'm going to say, that's for sure. I don't know when I used to say this.
I'm talking about
dyed my hair jet black.
I'm talking about Billy Mays.
Okay,
yeah. He used to say that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it weird that we live in a world where David Bowie and Billy Mays are both dead? That's weird.
They were aged.
Not Billy Mays, he was young. He was like... 15.
Okay. I was thinking of a different Billy Mays, I think.
Probably, yeah. There's so many of them. They're a dime a dozen.
Like the 30th populous name in the world.
Exactly, yeah. It's right up there with Vince Offer.
Yeah, Vincent Raines.
Wow, who is Vincent Raines?
This guy, this character that I'm working on, you know, he chews a lot of gum, he works for the paper, but nobody likes him.
Of course, yeah, because he's a bigot.
Yeah, and he eats Pizza Pops all day, but he never, like, puts them in the microwave, he just warms them up in his pockets from, like, the morning to the afternoon.
They're called Pizza Pockets, you're supposed to warm them up in your pockets, is what he tells his coworkers.
That's what he says, like, as soon as a new person starts at the newspaper and sees him do this, he, like, just stops them before they even ask, and just, like, immediately is like, Pizza Pockets!
Look, I see the question forming in your eyes. Pizza pockets. They warm up in your pocket.
Orange box. Blue yeah. accents.
That's right. I put them up my ass, the human pocket.
We don't talk about the human pocket enough because we're men. And women have a famous, other human pocket.
It's famous. It's known worldwide.
Like, the fact that we can't use our pee hole as a pocket, neither can they.
You could. You could, technically. It's called sounding, and it's about putting things in. This is the second time I've talked about sounding on the podcast. Maybe more than that, but the second time recently that I've talked about sounding on the podcast.
Yeah, you definitely bring up sounding every time you can just muster the courage.
I can't wait to shoehorn it in.
It's more about the courage to say it.
Yeah, I shoehorn sounding into the podcast the same way I shoehorn things into my penis. Like shoehorns.
Have you used a shoehorn religiously yet in your life?
I've never even touched a shoehorn. That's not true.
You've never touched a shoehorn? Never were like at a shop or like a doctor's office and played with the shoehorn?
I don't want to lie to you. I have touched a shoehorn before. Yeah. Have I used it to put on my shoe? Nay, nay. I say nay, nay. But I have certainly touched them, of course. They got the hook and the groove, and they're fun.
I did for fun. Like, I've used it to put on a shoe, but not because I needed to.
Right.
Because I wanted to.
It almost seems like you'd need two shoehorns. One for your heel, but then one to hold the tongue up and out. Right? Like,
two shoehorns are the shoehorn.
That's the horns.
Yeah. You don't see a bunch of animals. Sure, a couple of them have gotten into scrapes and scraps and lose a horn, but like the normal is two horns.
Right, yeah. We've got shoe horns, why not shoe antlers? That's nothing.
No, that's a leave-in, but it's nothing.
It's a leave-in, but it's less than nothing.
Like, if you're sitting at home writing that down to use in your conversations with your friends, do not.
Yeah, if you're writing that down to take the heat off you when you pull a pizza pocket out of your pocket and start chowing down on it, and you go, "Ah, we got shoe horns, why not shoe antlers?"
Very true. And we all know our body of heat is enough to warm up a pizza pocket pop during the day. Or a pizza pocket.
Yeah. Have you ever peed in the snow? Your insides are red hot.
We're red hot inside, and but it's not cordial. It's not cool.
No, it's hot.
That's what he says as soon as he pulls it out of his pocket. Oh, it's hot.
Ooh.
And he like pretends that it's
burning. We can see like ice on it. We can see freezer burn on it. How long have you had these? And he's like, "Oh, years. They've been in my freezer forever."
Rams.
It's the what?
Vincent Rams, or whatever I named him.
Yeah, Vincent Rams.
That's the one.
Is that what Ving Rams is short for? Vincent? That's not a good name.
Vincent.
Hi, it's me, Vincent Rams. Hey, do I smell the name change coming up on the show? Maybe.
No.
I'm Vincent Rams, and I hate saying that name every week.
But you still have to say it.
Yeah, it's my name.
Until you come up with a new name change, like God or the Chosen One.
Right, of course. Or, whatever my names were before. Zaccaroni Obama, Zaccaroni Ty Bryant, and maybe there was another one? I don't. Maybe there wasn't. Maybe that was it.
Zaccaroni Obama, or was it Zaccaromi?
It was a Gesundheit wife. It was Zachariah Ty Bryant, and then Zaccaroni Obama, and then Adam. Simple, clean.
Clean. Really good transition there.
Two syllables, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hey, boy, we got some segments we got to get to.
Yeah.
Enough of this faffing about. We got to do some segments.
We got a chunky one.
Oh, I can't wait, because first things first, we got to get to a very important question. A question we ask every week, and that is, of course, Larry Creep, whomst was the Bagger Vance of Backdraft?
Nailed it.
Thank you.
You've also said that, like, twice before in this episode.
Fair enough, yeah. Well, it's also easy to remember because that's, like, a real movie that I've heard of before, and it's not Christmas Switched or whatever.
And it's also, like, a real thing that everybody knows about fires. The number one thing when you think of fires back then.
and weirdly enough is not featured in this movie.
No, not at all. They really underutilized the backdraft. So my banger bands for backdraft was, of course, the eternal flame that is fire.
Perfect. Can't have a backdraft without a flame.
Exactly. Adam, whoops, do you think was the Bagger Vance, or do you know, is the Bagger Vance a backdraft?
Oh, well, Steve, thank you so much for asking. To me, the Bagger Vance of Backdraft, 1992's Backdraft, was, of course, Ron Howard for directing the piss and shit out of that movie and just really showing us what it's like to be a fireman. You know, you're smoking darts, you're drinking on the job, you're listening to Heatwave, you're having the time of your life, and it's Ron Howard's job to capture that, and he did a great job.
Yeah, he really pulled out his nuts for this one. Yeah. And I really respect Ron Howard. The end.
Remember Happy Days? Hey, remember Happy Days? We didn't even do a Ron Howard voice last episode at all, so we gotta get one in this one.
We didn't at all? Oh, yeah, nope. We were too hot on Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Is that your jacket? It's funny, because when you say that, you're not doing a Chicago accent at all when you do that. It's just some other thing. You become like a greasy lizard man when you say it. I love it.
It's cartoony, it's sewery, it's Chicago at its core. but
sewery.
It's also spooky, so I'll never say it again.
Okay, well, I like it. I love it. I want some more of it.
I want some more of it. Maybe we should have a song of the episode.
Maybe, sure. Hey, what would be your song of the episode?
I like it. I love it. I want some more of it.
You know any more words?
Nope.
I tried so hard.
So hard. I can't get hard.
That's it. Yeah, don't know what to do if I can't get hard because I like it. I love it.
Oh, a man that just pines to get hard, but he just can't.
He tries so hard.
He likes it. He loves it.
He loves it.
He wants more of it.
He can't get hard.
He's 30 years old. He eats a lot of fiber. He doesn't know what's going on.
He's eating red meat. He's living like a king. He's got gout. He can't get hard.
His stinger's getting smaller by the day.
He's doing steroids.
That's a short story. That's a writing prompt.
That's a writing prompt. Hey, everyone on our writing prompt or whatever, there's probably a subreddit for that. Write a short story about a man who likes it, loves it, wants some more of it, but can't get hard.
It seems like the whole story's there, you know? Like, it just makes sense.
Well, I mean, that's the setup for the story. I mean, there's got to be more. There's no rising action. Tell me about it. And there's no conclusion.
The elevator pitch for this is beautiful.
Who wouldn't go for this? HBO, if you're listening, give us a limited series.
Yeah, very limited.
One episode.
Like three halves of an episode.
Sure, yeah. Plug us in somewhere. Put us on the TV in the universe of some other show that you're doing.
This would have been perfect for Quibi or Quibi or whatever that short form television streaming platform was.
Raven Power, Quibi, we miss you every day. Why can't I watch things on my phone and my television?
Crazy.
Why isn't media made to be consumed horizontally and vertically?
Hey, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's easy.
I don't want to turn my phone.
Who wouldn't want to watch a movie in a vertical slice? Who wouldn't want that?
I want that.
Me
but
too.
I don't want it now. I want it in like 15 years when it's good and ready.
Yeah, I want it in 15 years when phones are the size of windows.
I want it in 15 years when phones have enough Dolby.
Ugh, and that's my biggest complaint with phones, is they have too much Dolby.
Well, I don't think they have enough.
I think they have too much, and I feel like we need to reel it back a little bit.
That's what we should protest at the theater, is Dolby on our phones.
These phones have too much Dolby. Sir, why are you outside of this AMC theater?
Isn't it owned by TELUS?
Isn't it owned by... I couldn't think of another cell phone provider.
Rogers?
Kudo?
Haiti Mobile?
Haiti Sastel?
Haiti Sastel.
I'll bleep that one. Don't worry.
Just bleep the tell part.
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'll go, what else could that be?
Nothing.
Nothing, bud. Nothing.
Nothing.
Hey, we're recording this 2 days after Valentine's Day, 2 days after our 2-year anniversary. And so I got to ask, Steve Creep, how was your Valentine's Day?
Well, I would have to say the Beggar Vance of my Valentine's Day was the sweet and delightful little date that me and my wife took to Home Hardware.
Ooh.
To look at different panels of colors that we are going to paint our bathroom.
Have you settled on a color yet? Ooh, I can't wait to find out.
It's green, that's for sure.
Okay.
And we're going for a solid green, like really in-your-face green. I wanted pea soup.
Is that the name of a color?
No, I found a picture of pea soup on Google Images, and I wanted to take that and make a print of it so
beautiful.
That you're always looking at pea soup.
I love it. The pea.
What would you like to look at if you're every single day if you're in the washroom?
The pea.
Do you?
Yeah, exactly. Those things. The pea, the soup.
And then we went to Haiti Burger, and that was it.
Haiti Burger?
Yeah.
I don't even know what you're parodying with that.
There is no equivalent in our actual country.
Did you go to Jollibee's? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No, there's an ampersand in the middle of the two letters.
Haiti ampersand burger.
Exactly. H&W.
Hi, it's me, Haiti and Burger. Yes, I know what you mean now, yeah.
Yes.
H&W.
The Haitian version, not the American version, which I'm told is much better.
Well, not according to me.
Okay.
Well, I don't know, though.
Not according to me, but I don't know.
I don't know.
Don't.
So I would say not according to me, because I don't know.
Okay.
Beautiful. That sounds like a lovely day. Did you settle on a green?
No.
Oh, can I make a suggestion? Uh-huh. Green, like army man green, like from the little plastic army men, that solid green.
It's in that vein, but we wanted a little bit more muted, maybe a little bit more soft than that.
Sure, sure.
Because we don't want to go in there and thinking that we're in the jungles of the Amazon and have to fight our way through the Viet Cong.
Of course.
Either. I know different countries.
No, it's the same, same.
Sometimes the Viet Cong are in Brazil.
Hey, if this movie taught me anything, it's that if you're even slightly Asian and it doesn't matter what part of Asia you're from, you can just do racist caricatures of any Asian people. It's all the same.
Exactly. Is that what you learned on your Valentine's Day?
Oh, that's what I learned from watching I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
What did you do? Did you do?
Well, here's the thing. I can only describe my Valentine's Day with one simple expression, and it goes, I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. I tried so hard. I can't get hard.
Okay, so you didn't get hard, so you used your mouth a lot.
Yeah, to eat chips and...
dip.
And dip, of course, yeah. Yum. And
veggies and dip.
Of course. My wife and I famously watch the Twilight franchise every Valentine's Day. And this year we started a little late because we forgot. We just... got lost track of what day it was and then realized, like, oh god, it's like Valentine's Day is tomorrow, we haven't even started this yet. So we quickly crushed out Twilight and New Moon in one day, and it was great. That's usually how we do it. And then on Valentine's Day we watched Eclipse and had a lovely time. Last night we of course watched Breaking Dawn Part 1, tonight we'll watch Breaking Dawn Part 2 and complete the quintology.
How many movies are there?
Cinco say.
Cinco! That's five.
That's five. I think, as far as I know, as far as my brain tells me.
What do you mean by you did New Moon in one day? Isn't it one movie?
No, we did Twilight and New Moon in one day. We watched them back to back.
They're not the same movie.
They are the same movie, basically. Just in Twilight, it's about vampires. In New Moon, it's about werewolves. But it's almost the identical story as Twilight. It's beautiful.
Aren't they technically about the moon? Don't vampires get their power from the moon?
Vampires get the power from the sun in this universe. They're all sparkly.
Oh, right, they're sparkly. I forgot about the sparkles.
I had a realization last night that I said to my wife. I was like, because this is, I think, the sixth time we've watched these movies. And I like turned to her at one point during Edward and Bella's wedding, which legitimately I enjoy, but I turned to her and said, babe, I think I've crossed over from ironically liking these movies to actually liking these movies. I think something broke in my brain, and I'm now just like, yeah, God, oh, beautiful. Oh, Bella's dress, so beautiful. Love it.
I feel like that very thin pane of glass between the things you like and the things you ironically like gets thinner and thinner as the years go by.
As it should. Like, it's, yeah. People say, oh, I ironically like that. And it's like, no, you're just saying that because you're embarrassed to like it. But just like what you like. If you like Twilight, go for it, bud. They're awesome.
And technically, technology is making windows thinner and thinner.
Of course.
As time goes by, so should our wants and needs.
Well, and it's crazy that they're making the windows thinner despite having more panes in them.
That's f***ed up.
Oh, God. Now I gotta censor it? Oh, I gotta censor this episode.
Good.
Good. Gush.
Gush.
Okay, I'm gonna derail the show for 1 second here. There's a moment during Bella's wedding where Bella and Edward's wedding, where you see the crowd of people there and Stephanie Myers is in the crowd, the author of the Twilight franchise. And all I could think was like, that had to have been, shooting that scene had to have been a highlight of Stephanie Myers' life, because she created this universe and now she's living in the universe with, like, at this beautiful wedding that she created, and now she gets to be there and see it all happen. That's crazy. What a dream come true for an author.
And not to mention craft services.
Oh, the amount of food she probably ate. Oh.
On that day?
Yeah, on that day. She was like, I can barely fit into my bridesmaid's dress. I've been eating so much craft services. Well, maybe next year we'll do the Twilight movies at Valentine's time.
Are the Twilight movies pre 9/11?
No, very post. Lots of shots of the New York City skyline with no Twin Towers, despite this movie taking place in Forks, Washington.
Okay, a lot of shots of Ground Zero interspersing the scene.
Yep, oh yeah, a lot of shout-outs to the greatest mayor, Rudy Giuliani, Rudolph Giuliani.
Cleaning up the city, finally.
Finally, God, after all these years, finally clean this thing up, God.
Too much paint.
Rudy, you leave your dishes in the sink, you gotta clean them up.
Is that a reference to this?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, before we talk any more about history's greatest mayor, Rudolph Giuliani, we got to get to everyone's favorite segment of the show.
The Kevin Sorbo Tweet of the Week.
Kevin!
All right, Kevin. You pushed this out at 12:16 p.m.
Oof.
February 15th, 2023, with a 578,000 views so far.
Sad. Sad. That's low. That's sad.
Yeah, but this was released recently, so it's gotta give it some time to create the snowball effect.
It's only been out for 22 hours at this point, so
it's also a long one. So a lot of his readers probably eyes go back in. To their head halfway through and just fall asleep.
Right, they start speaking in tongues, they're possessed by the devil, yeah, of course.
So I think this is something we can all agree on. Children raised by married parents do better at school, develop stronger cognitive and non-cognitive skills, are more likely to go to college, earn more, and are likely to go on to form stable marriages themselves, period.
I mean, I don't know. That seems like, they come from a home with, like, a married, like, that seems like, well, just as long as they have parents.
Yeah. Like, both parents.
Yeah, and they're a man and a woman. They're not two men or two women. Because that's what Kevin's really getting at here.
Well, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, of course.
You read between the lines, and yeah, you see. You see what he's really saying. Traditional marriage works, and every other form of marriage is garbage.
Yeah, so take that, children with less than one parent.
Yeah, or less than two parents. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
Can't wait to watch a movie about you next Christmas.
He honestly forgot the last sentence, which should have been good luck.
Well, we're not here to talk about Good Luck Chuck, 2007's Good Luck Chuck. We're here to talk about 2007's Adaptation Chuck and Larry.
Yeah, we're talking about the Good Luck Chuck and Larry.
Good luck, Chuck and Larry. Not a bad name for the sequel.
That's what Kevin says.
Hey, Kevin. Kevin! Whatever, bro. Sure. What a weird tweet. What a weird tweet to come from a man like that.
What a weird paragraph of a tweet. And did it need to be said? No.
No.
Did it say anything? Not really.
Yeah, also provides no information to back that up. Just says a thing and then goes, and that's a fact now. And you go, well, I guess, maybe. Is there, do you have any evidence? Do you have any, like, bit.ly links that you can send to me so I can check this out or no?
Yeah, if you're gonna strike us with some plain-ass knowledge like this, back up your story.
Yeah, and you know what? Back that ass up, too.
What does his butt look like nowadays, do you think?
Flat.
It probably looks like a couple of Guatemalan apples.
Yeah, it probably looks like the inside of a hollowed-out coconut.
Yeah, got him.
Got him! Kev, we love ya. For some reason.
I think it's because of the angles in her childhood.
Yeah, and it's probably because of all the cash we make off of his tweets.
Yeah, he could sue us for a lot of money.
And he should.
He's just leaving money on the table.
Play this in court. Hey, let's go, let's God.
Thank you.
Let's go, let's God into this extremely ungodly movie, 2007's I Never Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
Well, it's godly in the fact that it has firefighters and their
heroes.
Right to fight New York fires.
Mm-hmm. Heroes, heroes, heroes. Although the movie becomes less about firefighting as it goes on and more about gay marriage, but like, I signed on for a firefighting movie.
Yeah, the first 15, 20 minutes, although like of its time and not very respectful to different people, I thought it was funny, and there was a couple of fire. It was a lot about the fireman aspect.
Yeah.
And then that just gets derailed, and it's not a serious movie, but it takes itself seriously. I don't even know how to describe it after that.
Yeah, at a certain point, they just the writers start going like, look, Adam Sandler's been pretending to be gay this whole movie, and he's been getting really close to Jessica Biel and lying to her and lying to the city of New York, a city full of heroes. How are we going to finagle this so that he ends up with Jessica Biel in the end? How are we going to make this work in some way? What if we just made Jessica Biel the dumbest person in the world? And they went, you did it. You did it.
The dumbest lawyer in the world.
No, she is the dumbest dummy who ever dummied in this movie. Like, Adam Sandler's not even trying to be gay. And she's just like, you're the gayest dude I've ever met. And my brother's Nick Swartzen, and he's gay as hell.
She's got gay glasses on for Adam Sandler, that's for sure. Mm. I feel like in their first meeting where they're proposing their scheme to her, she's very suspicious. And so are everybody, because they don't really do much to like convince people that they are now gay.
Yeah, it's like the way that Kevin James pitches it to Adam Sandler. Oh, and Adam Sandler catches it. That's some gay stuff.
That's people stuff.
Hey, play ball.
He's
like, look, all we have to do is get fake married, or not even that. We just have to make a fake civil union, and then like no one's ever gonna look into it. It's like, well, then you're the dumbest man in the world. Like, you think they're just gonna let you roll with that, and no one's gonna investigate?
Kevin James' wife has just passed away recently.
Two years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. So very recently.
Oh, yesterday.
And he hasn't done any paperwork yet, I guess, to handle his insurance. Mm-hmm. So he's worried about dying because he has a very dangerous dying job.
Right. He's a firefighter. Yeah. Which is insane that he's like, my wife died. And the first thing I did, and I didn't just get my insurance sorted out immediately. I'm a firefighter.
And now he needs to make a decision or needs to have something happen to get his kids on his insurance, and that is to marry somebody.
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense to me. Why, if you have insurance and you have children, how are they not immediately covered under your insurance? What's the point of insurance then?
Yeah, and I think either way, whether you set up a beneficiary or not, they still can't get their money until they're 18. It just goes to the government and then it goes to the kids. I don't know. I don't know the inner workings of what happens, but it seems like the whole plan to marry Larry to figure this out is just dumb. It doesn't need to happen. He's had 2 years to figure it out. And even like this process of marrying him and getting him on the insurance would probably take just as long to do the proper paperwork.
Yeah. Why didn't you just marry Rachel Dratch? She was throwing it at you at that meeting. You should have just married her.
Oh, yeah. Rachel Dratch, that is exactly the point of the movie where I'm like, okay, this is going to be an okay movie.
Yeah.
And then after Dratch, it's all downhill.
Oh, I don't know. We haven't even met Dan Aykroyd yet.
Well, true. The Aykroyd's in it, and he's more progressive than his real personality, probably.
I guess, yeah. He's not out there hawking skull vodka and talking about UFOs and stuff. Oh, he's probably creaming his jeans over these Chinese weather balloons.
As we are all, I mean.
So say we all, whose yeah. jeans aren't creamed because of these balloons getting shot down. Wow, what a carnival life has become.
Yeah, balloons of various sizes being shot down by the American army?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Flying their friggin' jets out there to shoot down balloons? Cool.
Finally some action, baby.
Yeah, I can't wait for the sequel to Top Gun Maverick where they shoot down Chinese weather balloons.
Yeah, opposed to the guy that can't get hard, these fighters are getting just hard as hell.
Hard.
About shooting down these balloons.
It's the most work they've had in years.
Do you think they have to take, like, a special pill to not give them boners? Because when they're flying, they probably instinctively have the testosterone going.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, right? When you're pulling G's, all your blood gets sucked out of your heart and into your legs and your extremities, which also is your boner. So, like, I bet jet fighter pilots have to, like, there's probably a special way the joystick is created, so them just smack their boner all the time when they're flying.
Yeah, it's definitely not shaped like a penis or a vagina, their stick. That's for sure.
Oh, no!
It was for years, and they just kept getting hard and getting distracted and, you know, killing themselves and destroying billion-dollar planes. But now they take a serum.
Now they get a needle directly into their penis that makes it limp forever.
Yeah, very scratchy, and so you notice it.
Oh, yeah, you're constantly irritated by it, but you can't scratch that itch.
But it's not a boner.
I wonder, like, if a fighter pilot's penis ever exploded while pulling G's, like, because it just gets so engorged with blood that, like, it just pops like a, I don't know, like a Christmas goose.
Well, fluid goes to the path of least resistance, and everybody knows the least resistance is in your ball sack.
Yeah.
And it would just explode. That's probably what they happened before G's were introduced.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why the show From G's to Gents was invented, presumably.
All about the crotches of very famous pilots.
Exactly. All about the crotches, baby. Fonzworth Bentley, come back to us. We miss you. You were from a better era when men were pimps and women were hoes. Come back to us, Fonzworth Bentley.
Can you believe in 2007 a popular comedic movie was made without any pimps or hoes?
I guess
there's hoes.
There's plenty of hoes. Yeah, there's lots of hoes in this movie. And you could say Adam Sandler's kind of a pimp in this movie.
But he does call himself a whore to, you know.
True, yeah. And he is sleeping with Tila Tequila, so he's got that going for him.
Was that Tila Tequila?
Yeah, you mean Queen Esther? Yeah.
I wasn't looking at a bunch of faces, if you know what I mean.
But I busted so many nuts to Tila Tequila in 2007, I guess, probably, that, like, yeah, I was like, woof, I'm getting flashbacks here.
What was your favorite feature sexually of Tila Tequila?
Well, boy, that's a tough one to say. Well, she had a...
That's me. She had asking the tough questions. These aren't going to be easy all the time.
Hey, she had a tight little body and perky nips, and how could you say no to that? And she was exotic looking.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say exhausted looking.
Well, she was also exhausted looking. If you've ever seen her sex tape, yeah, she's exhausted in all of them. Exhausted from doing cocaine forever.
Yeah, cocaine and porn is a really tough racket for your heart.
It's tough, and that's why she's Jesus' bride now. Have we talked about who Tila Tequila is these days on the show? Have we gone into that?
I think so, yeah. In the early days, we certainly touched on it a bit.
It was so nice to see Queen Esther. I love Queen Esther. You're a goddess. Check her out on YouTube. Queen Esther, aka Tila Tequila. She is Jesus' bride. She has lost her fucking mind. And it's what a delight to see the sad journey her life has taken her on.
Great Hooters girl, though.
Oh, one of the best. One of the best Hooters girls.
Was Hooters in, like, every single Adam Sandler movie, like, from the mid-90s onwards?
I would imagine so. I don't see why they wouldn't be.
I feel like this was probably the end of the Hooters era. This definitely seemed like it, like, bookmarked an era of Adam Sandler movies, where it just, like, it went too far in this one.
Yeah, it was like, am I supposed to believe that five Asian Hooters girls were there to pick up Adam Sandler from the hospital and then have lots of sex with him and Dr. Honey, a woman that he sexually harassed at the job?
Yes, but apparently she liked it.
She loved it. She wants some more of it.
Which is why she is in his bed.
Of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Like, how did Adam Sandler pull that off? She hated him the last time we saw them. Oh, my wife can't find her cell phone. Classic my wife.
And it's a huge part of the movie because Adam Sandler almost dies, poking around fired wood.
Mm-hmm, of course. Hey, is this fired wood?
Oh, is this fired wood? And they poke, poke, poke. And that's how they, you know, get the structural integrity of a building after it's been on fire.
Yeah, they stand underneath a thing that's not stable and jam their pointy sticks into it and go, is this going to collapse on my head?
While somebody is up there on that platform.
Of course, yeah. How else are you supposed to test?
So Kevin James, of course, saves Adam Sandler's life. So Adam Sandler owes him a solid after 20 years of working together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, no, are you throwing another log on? It's so hot in here. Yeah, it's so hot in here.
My wife thinks logs grow on trees, and we can just burn them like they're nothing.
That's classic log talk.
Classic log talk.
Adam Creep. I hope you leave that in.
I will. Of course I will. Okay. We didn't even talk. I mean, we're jumping all over the place in this movie, but we haven't even talked about the very beginning where this movie almost opens with incest. And you go, what is this movie?
Between whomst?
Between those two twins that Adam Sandler's banging.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic early, mid-2000s trope incest.
Oh,
between
yeah.
Between siblings.
See, this movie let me down right off the bat because it almost opens with two, I will say, very sexy twins. Almost kissing to prove how not gross and creepy they are. And then the fire bell rings and like, oh, we got to go fight a fire. And nothing would have made me happier if they went from that to the firemen going to 9/11. How great would that have been if they were just like, oh, we just almost saw these twins kiss. Life is great. And then boom, the second plane hits the towers and they got to go deal with that. That would have been great.
That's probably how a lot of 9/11 films started. Just like everyday beautiful twins kissing each other in front of firemen who have been on calendars. This is the whole thing with firemen is that they're put on a pedestal because they get naked in front of a camera and put a calendar underneath it.
I mean, they show the picture that Adam Sandler has for Mr. February. He's not even shirtless in it. He's just wearing his fireman outfit. And women are like, Adam Sandler, you're sexy. And I go, well, who says that? Who would ever think that?
They play it off as his eyes, his beautiful, deep, sultry eyes. Mm-hmm. But the dude's 40 already. He's not a spring chicken anymore that could get Jessica Biel that is 16 years younger than him.
Wow.
Yeah, wow is right.
Wow, what a score.
What a piece of information.
Wow, what a piece of tail.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Is she ever? Ugh. Whatever happened to Jessica Biel? Where is she now?
She's still beautiful. She was in Stealth, of course. As a...
Yeah. Whatever happened to Jessica Biel? Well, several years before I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry came out, she was in Stealth, you might remember, with Jamie Foxx and an airplane.
was way before. Oh, it was before. It was 2005 Stealth, of course.
Of course, 2005 Stealth.
Before they had real planes that could do real G's that would make your boners burst.
Yeah, exactly. Now, whenever I watch jet pilots, I'm just going to be thinking about their boners and how much they're going to explode.
I mean, you know, women's parts could explode too. We're not singling those guys out.
Sure, they're labia majoras. They're labia minoras. Sure, sure.
Where are our majors and minors? I got a major ball and a minor ball.
Hey, that's cool. I don't know what that means, but I'm into it.
Well, one's bigger, one's smaller.
Mm, okay, yeah, sure, yeah. Major and minor, of course, yeah, keys.
Yeah, one's lumpy, one's smooth.
Of course, yeah. I mean, that boom you hear when a jet's flying fast is not them breaking the sound barrier. That's the sound of their erections exploding.
It's the sound of them screaming at the top of their lungs after their crotches explode.
This jet just zoom, just flies by.
Human beings are very interesting things because we can like achieve so much more than what we think. And breaking the sound barrier with our voices after our nuts explode is one of them.
I mean, Chuck Yeager was the first to do it, and we salute him for it. Thank you for sacrificing your boner for our flights or whatever.
And if your hand's not at your forehead right now, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, exactly. Amen, please.
Amen, please.
Or a woman, please. Did I ever tell you, I went to Florida recently, a few months ago. I mentioned that on the show. Did I tell you in the Airbnb we were staying in the children's bedroom, like there was like five bedrooms. One was clearly for kids. It had a bunch of kids stuff on the wall. There was two little separate small beds. But on the wall was just a giant picture of Mickey Mouse, like, that said, like, saluting the troops. And it was him, like, saluting. Like, that's the coolest. I wanted to steal that picture so bad. It was too big to fit in my carry-on because it was, like, 4 feet wide. But I wanted nothing more than to have that Mickey Mouse saluting picture. God, it was beautiful.
And then Airbnb would, like, go after you. Really get you in a bind.
Yeah, where's our Mickey Mouse saluting picture?
They probably get paid from the U.S. Government to put that into the child's room in a lot of Airbnbs.
They should, yep. And did I see a bunch of Mickey Mouse thin blue line shirts at Disney World? You bet your ass I did.
It's so crazy to me when I see Mickey Mouse because he's just this little character that everybody knows. One of the most prominent characters in all of history.
Yeah.
And yet he's in nothing. He does nothing.
Yeah.
That's interesting or fun. He's not funny.
No, it's the whole world knowing Tony the Tiger. Like, he's just a mascot. He's just a mascot. He's nothing other than that. Sure, he's got cartoons and shit, but like... That's not what people don't think of, like, the hot dog song from Mickey Mouse Treehouse when they see Mickey Mouse.
Well, at least Tony the Tiger is giving me cereal too, though. Like,
and he's hyping you up.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse, you do nothing for me.
Also, Tony the Tiger's lying to you. Frosted Flakes are not great. They're fine at best, but they're not great. Great.
They're pretty great. I mean, you got that sultry layer of sugar on top of a beautiful corn flake.
No. No. They're no Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
And they minimize the sogginess right away. They turn that down a little bit so you still get a crispy crunch.
Don't they get soggy immediately?
Yeah.
You're eating sugared chips in milk. That's not great. Sorry, Tony.
No, I love them.
Sorry,
I love
Anthony.
Them. Beautiful. Nice sweet corn, crispy sweet corn with milk on it.
Sweet corn. Anthony the Tiger. What a hunk. He's got a body like Adam Sandler in this movie.
Our first differing opinion throughout time is Frosted Flakes.
Yep.
And it's driven a wedge between Adam and Steve that you'll never know. Mm. You'll never truly know.
You'll never truly know. And we will, on our deathbed, I'll be going, boo, Frosted Flakes. And you'll be going, yay, Frosted Flakes.
Yay, Frosted Flakes.
Yeah. And your heart monitor will be going, beep, and you'll be dead. And I'll win.
I'll win.
First man, last man.
Well, you got your Neil Armstrong and your Buzz Aldrin.
Your balls Aldrin. Your balls all drained. Hey, thank you very much. I'll be here all week.
That has to have been used before, right? Balls all drained?
Balls all drained? I mean, there's got to be... It's got to be a moon landing porn parody. Like, this ain't the moon landing. That's got to exist, right?
I don't know if porn people are clever enough to come up with that name. Or they might be hyper clever at that because they're focused on that all the time.
Yeah, they're very clever. Neil Armstrong and Balls All Drained is that's the team that I want to see together.
I think the contest, though, for you listeners is to contact us with a funny word name for Neil Armstrong.
That's true. Yeah, we're not. You know what? I've already nailed it with Balls All Drained, so I'm not. I'm stepping back. I'm not doing Neil Armstrong. I already did one, and it was perfect.
We don't have to do shit.
Yeah, we don't have to do shit for you people. You come up with the Neil Armstrong porn name. I already did Balls All Drained.
Yeah, and as for me, I don't want to.
And I could, but I just flat don't want to.
Yeah, I just don't want to expend the mental effort on it. Much like this movie, 2000s.
2007's, I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. Hey, Steve, how many times do you think they say the F slur in this movie?
Well, it's definitely more than a half dozen and cheaper than the other.
Bingo, that's right. Steve Martin shows up and says it 7 times.
It's rattling. The first time I heard it, I was like, okay, they got one in there. You got to put one in there.
Sure.
You got to make a point of it. And the whole point is throughout this movie that it's not a good thing. Like, there is reprimands. There is...
Well, not at first.
Repercussions for saying it.
Not at first, there isn't. At first, Adam Sandler's just throwing it around.
Yes, yes. But he is being set up as a terrible human being in the first 30 minutes of this movie.
Yeah, who, at the end, I guess, gets a redemption arc because he's nice to Kevin James's kids, and then, I guess, stops lying to Jessica Biel, and that makes him a good man in the end. And people go, all is forgiven.
Well, when you have the eyes, the beautiful, sultry eyes to nail a lady like Jessica Biel, you're forgiven for all sorts of crimes, and saying the F word very fluidly is one of them.
Gosh, yeah, I was explaining that, I was telling my wife about that this morning. I was like, God, they say the F word so many times in this movie. And she's like, oh, yeah? And I'm like, yeah. And also, like, most of them are from Adam Sandler. It's either Adam Sandler saying it or someone yelling it in a hateful way at Adam Sandler and Kevin James. But Adam Sandler says at least 3 of the 7 times, maybe 4 of the 7 times. I don't know, but Rob Corddry says it 3 times, I think, so...
He says it 3 times in quick succession.
Yeah, into a megaphone.
Yeah, into a megaphone.
Wild.
Which is his right.
It's his right. Well, I don't think it's your right to say hate speech. Right. Yeah.
Hate speech is definitely not cool or legal.
Yeah. But it is cool and legal to say hey ho to your friend who's who you're getting fake gay married to.
I feel like it's not redeemed, but they... I don't know if the movie should be canceled.
No, God no.
You should, like, the whole point is to put a negative thing on that and to not say it anymore, because, of course, there's a courtroom scene at the end of the Adam Sandler movie where he stands up and tells people not to say it.
I can't believe that there's a courtroom scene at the end of an Adam Sandler movie. I'm blown away by that. I can't believe that it ends with a trial. I can't think of any other Adam Sandler movie that ends with that. Oh, wait, all of them. Never mind.
Again, why I think this is the end of the era. The end of where he gets away with very formulaic movies. And he's not even writing these movies, but he is teaming up with these people specifically.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. What a movie. What a movie. What a progressive good movie. And here's the thing. I bet this movie was perceived as progressive when it came out.
Oh, for sure. Like, this is peak time where people were saying the N-word and the F-word, like, a lot in media and in regular day speech. And I'm sure a lot of Adam Sandler followers specifically were saying these types of things. So yes, maybe there should have been more perspective from queer culture in the writing of this movie, but they did reach out to a lot of people by casting Adam Sandler and Kevin James, unfortunately, I guess.
And this stupid ass movie, it, like, I remember distinctly the trailers teasing that kiss in the, you know, in the trailer where it's like, oh my God, are Adam Sandler and Kevin James gonna kiss? And I was like, well, that's worth the price of admission right there. And then they don't. They don't even kiss in this friggin' movie. What's the point? Well, probably because they were like, I don't want to kiss. I don't know. I can't kiss each other. It's just let them kiss. Who cares? It's hot.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't kiss. Like, it's weird that they don't. And
really weird.
Like, it shouldn't be put upon them to prove to everybody that they are gay and to kiss in front of everybody. But I feel like in the movie they should have. They should have just done it.
Seems silly that they didn't do it.
Yeah, and Dan Aykroyd comes in and stops that and gets him into more trouble.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd comes and then gets him into more trouble.
He doesn't even have his skull vodka yet.
He's got a skull in his head, but not in his vodka.
He says that during the credits.
I pulled a classic Adam with this movie where at the end, when it all is revealed that they've been lying this whole time, and then all Dan Aykroyd's like, well, if you're going to arrest them, you got to arrest me. And then all the other firefighters send him going, well, if you're going to arrest them, you got to arrest us as well. And then they all end up in jail. And that's when I stopped the movie. Because I was like, that's perfect. That's good enough. They all go to jail. The end. I don't want to know what happened. I'm sure somebody bails them out. There's a happy ending. Adam Sandler gets with Jessica Biel for no reason. Sure, they all play basketball again. Ving Rhames is gay. Sure, sure, sure. Great, great, great. All that's awesome. Maybe Tila Tequila, a.k.a. Queen Esther, shows up again. I don't know. But I don't care. In my mind, they'll go to jail because they should. They were fraudulent against the system. They should go to jail.
Well, at the end of any Adam Sandler movie, there's like this half rap party, half last scene that gets filmed.
Yeah.
And then it's over. Everything's tied up perfectly, and then the credits roll, and that's it.
Like, every Adam Sandler movie ends like a Shrek movie, where everyone just gets together and sings and dances and has a beautiful time, and it's great, and every character gets their own little moment to highlight how great they are, and even if you got eaten by a dragon, you still get a part of the song. It's fine. We love it.
Yeah, of course. Rob Schneider comes back and does the wedding at the end.
Jeepers. Is he the one who marries Adam Sandler and Jessica Biel? Because I'm assuming they get married at the end.
No, it is Ving Rhames and Schwartzen who get married.
Ving Rhames and Nick Swartzen get married? Damn, I should have finished it. I made a mistake. I thought it'd be better to just end it there, but I didn't realize that Ving Rhames and Nick Swartzen were going to get married, and that's a beautiful thing. Did they kiss?
I think so, yes.
Really?
But, don't quote me on that, because I was already, like, glad this movie was over. And half watching, because it is an Adam Sandler ending. Exactly everything you said, but Ving Rhames and Schwartzen get married.
That's amazing. Is Chubbs in it? Does Chubbs wave from heaven?
No, nobody waves from heaven except for Abe Lincoln, of course.
And the crocodile, of course.
Yeah, but Chubbs isn't there.
Did you like the scene where Kevin James' son does the Johnny Cage splits and punches that bully in the dick? Because I did.
Which, oh, yeah, he punches him in the dick. Yeah, that was cool.
It was really cool. That kid can do the splits like an MF-er. Good for him.
I wonder if that was the only thing that they had to do in the audition, because he does it like 4 times in this movie.
And he does that thing where people jump and land in the splits. And I'm like, and the daughter, Kevin James' daughter, points it out. She goes, wouldn't that hurt his testicles? And I'm like, it should. Mm-hmm. He slammed his pelvis onto the ground, and that's where the testicles are.
Well, it's more your adductors that probably would take the brunt of it more than the testicles. Yeah, but if you're like slamming down pretty hard, I don't know. Bulls are squishy.
Boy, bulls are squishy. If we learned anything from I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, it's that bulls are squishy.
They are very squishy, and I don't think that would hurt them that much.
What did you think of the shower scene in this?
It was good. I like a good male shower scene. I think Ving Rhames having that like weird shower that's in the middle of everything that definitely doesn't exist in any shower room.
Yeah, weird.
Was very cool. I like seeing a bunch of naked guys from the waist up.
Yeah, and like clearly naked. Like Ving Rhames was definitely naked when they shot that, because there's some shots where you like almost see his dinger. Like it's pretty close. You see a lot of his thigh and then the front of his chunnel, and then and then that's it. So
yeah, you can almost see his whole pelvic bone.
Yeah, yeah. But we get some classic humor in that scene, because it comes out that Chuck and Larry are married and they're gay, and all the firemen are having a shower, and then one of them drops the soap, and he's like, oh my God, I'm definitely going to get F'd in the A if I try to pick up this soap, or get a D in my M if I, crouch down to pick it up.
I think that scene was a shot-for-shot remake from a scene from The Longest Yard. which
is that what we're doing next week?
Half of those people are in.
Oh, I can't wait to do the longest yard next week. Burt Reynolds, Tony Tiny Lister. Oh, the list goes on. The Lister goes on.
Yeah, we should definitely watch both versions of the longest yard next year, month.
I agree. Oh, longest yard month.
Yeah, so we watch those two movies and then the whole 9 yards and then the whole 10 yards.
Sure, yeah, and then Cheaper by the Dozen and then
Beautiful.
Yeah. What was the whole oh, the whole 9 yards, right, not a football movie. I was trying to think, I was like, what are these football movies, the whole 10 yards? What the hell's that? I don't remember. Oh, right.
Bruce, yeah, with the Friends man in it.
Right, Brucifer Willis and Matthew Perry, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Famously shot in Montreal.
Really?
I don't know. Quebec, I think.
Hey, the great mayor Giuliani. Mm-hmm. Shout him out.
My suggestion for our next film is a movie that this movie was said to be copyrighted of, which is Strange Bedfellows. An Australian flick about two men, aged men, getting married to put one over on the local government.
Hmm. Is it good?
Probably not.
Well, but maybe.
But maybe. It's Australian, so it's got to be somewhat good.
Yeah, well, it's got to be a lot of people talking like this. Call, hey, hey, old bugger, I love ya.
Yeah, it's probably better than Thor 4, that New Zealand trash.
Yeah, exactly. This was a conversation we were having before we started recording.
And I entered it into now.
And you entered
very
it into now.
Seamlessly.
And I won't edit this out.
No, don't. Don't ever.
I never edit anything out. I don't change the show at all. Anytime we bleep, that actually happens.
Yeah, time stops.
Yeah, time stops. We say the first letter, the first sound of a curse, and then
the P.
A bleep noise comes out of our mouth, and then the final sound of the curse. Here's what he said to me. Two very straight old timers have to learn how to pass as a loving gay couple after falsely claiming same-sex status to take advantage of newly legislated tax laws. Wow, I can't wait to see how they demonstrate being very straight. I hope it's by banging Tila Tequila.
Yeah, Tila Tequila is definitely in this movie. She plays the straight woman. The Jessica Biel role.
I can't believe my wife isn't here for this. When I mentioned to you before we started recording that Tila Tequila was in this, my wife went, Tila Tequila? My wife doesn't know anything about anything pop culture related. Pop culture is a blind spot for her, and yet she knew who Tila Tequila was, which is mind-blowing to me. She probably doesn't know who Bret Michaels is from Rock of Love, but apparently she knows who Tila Tequila is.
Yeah, she almost broke the sound barrier. She was so surprised.
Oh my God, who could not?
Very true.
Hey, all the good men are either gay or married, and of course I'm hanging out with one who's both.
Oh, Jessica, you'll get your man someday.
Yeah, and his name's Adam Sandler. Is that worth it? I don't know.
A super hot middle-20s lawyer.
I mean, I have this note, though. Adam Sandler has a great body in the shower scene. He looks great in that shower scene. He's got kind of abs. He's got good pecs. Like, Adam Sandler's freaking hot in that scene. I get it why he's Mr. February.
The CGI budget either went up quite a bit or he was in very good shape for this movie. And he was probably just in very good shape. During the first couple of scenes, you see him in the calendar and on a bus ad or
no,
something?
It's you see the calendar somewhere. I don't know where. Yeah. Somebody has it. Maybe Jessica Biel has it or something. No, that doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
Anyways, you're like, oh, one of the twins has it. Because they're like, hey, look at
that's
how
it.
Sexy you are.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, oh, abs. They probably did a lot of Photoshop for that.
Yeah.
And then you see him later and he's kind of cut. So
yeah.
You're like, oh, well, you're very sexy. I want to lick you.
Did you kind of get into shape for this movie, Adam Sandler? Did you really want these blood-related twin sisters to scissor for your enjoyment? Is that really what you wanted? I mean, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Who wouldn't?
This is for the queer community. You got to get abs, baby.
You got to get abs, baby.
I definitely think this was very progressive.
Oh, very. What did you think?
Most progressive movie.
What did you think of the scene where Jessica Biel is like, "Touch my tits, Adam Sandler," and he's like, "Let's do a long take where I play with your tits a lot," and she goes, "Okay, fine," and he just goes to town on him, and you just sit there and watch it and go, "Boy, she had to just like do that, huh? Like several takes of that, I'm sure."
I feel like it was probably a very uncomfortable script read for her when she was looking at different parts
yeah.
and her agents were telling her she had to do this movie.
Look, if you don't do this movie, you'll be rendered irrelevant by Hollywood. You need to let Adam Sandler fondle your breasts for a long time.
He's married now. He's not going to get any joy or sexual satisfaction out of grabbing her tits
yeah.
for an afternoon.
He's gay.
But that's in the movie.
No, gay in real life. Look, actors don't act. They're gay in real life.
They play themselves.
Exactly. They put a quarter in their ass because they played themselves.
And then it's the director's and the editor's part to make them straight.
Exactly, yeah. And that's
like
what,
an arrow.
That's where the CGI budget goes, is making these gay actors straight as an arrow.
I think that's on the DVD cover somewhere.
I think so, yeah. Well, it's in the credits for sure. A big special thank you to all of our CGI people for making, even though Adam Sandler and Kevin James are playing gay men, well, no, they're playing straight men playing gay men, we did everything we could to make them as straight as possible using CGI.
As possible.
As possible, yeah.
I loved it when they're sitting across from each other, Jessica and Adam, as I refer to them. And she asked him, "Oh, so what do you do to get Chuck all roused up?" And he's like, "Well, I play with his ear." "Oh, do that to me."
Yeah, like, this is what I mean. Jessica Biel's dumb as dirt in this movie. Like, "Oh, my gay friend, just like, get me off." And he's like, "Okay, I'm gay."
"Oh, that's how you get your partner off? Yeah, get me off."
It's not cheating if you're gay. It's fine. If a straight woman's getting fricked by a gay dude, it's not cheating for him, because he's not interested in her. This is just like, I don't know, building a deck or something to him.
And this is what women, straight women, do all the time. They
yeah.
just sit with their friends and get each other off and
yep.
say, "This is what my partner does."
Hey,
finger.
How do we get better at pleasing our partners? Well, let's please each other as preparation. You don't get good at something by not practicing at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You stick a cucumber up your hoo-ha and get your friend to blow you.
Exactly. You drop two bars of soap, and then you have Ving Rhames bend over and spread his butt cheeks open for you.
Oh, Ving Rhames. You beautiful, beautiful butt.
Like, in this movie, when Ving Rhames is singing "I'm Every Woman," this is all real, there was a moment where I was like, is Ving Rhames' voice that we know and love a fake voice? Is he a Gilbert Gottfried? Because he speaks with such a high voice at times in this movie, and I'm like, that sounds like natural Ving Rhames. "This low voice, it's me, Ving Rhames. You've seen Mission Impossible movies? I'm in all of them."
That, I chew a lot of gum.
That doesn't sound that, like, now I don't believe that that's how Ving Rhames sounds.
Well, there's only one person that can tell us that, and that's Ving Rhames.
And he's every woman.
He's. Every woman.
He is, correct. Yes, thank you. Thank you. That's a good song. I like that song.
It grooves, baby, yeah.
Definitely grooves, baby, yeah. We talked about Rob Schneider being racist as frick in this movie. We mentioned that,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, he's like literally has like buck teeth and like Asian eyes. Like, it's insane. And yeah, he's part Filipino, but like, he's acting Japanese. He keeps saying Japanese things. You can't just do that.
I think the worst crime is him coming off as Canadian.
Well, we don't know that he's Canadian. He could be. He might not have like gone through the immigration process yet.
Yeah, it could definitely be a shitheel that moved from America to Canada. But we don't know that.
Or from Japan to Canada.
Japan to Canada can happen.
Of course.
For all you out there.
Of course, yeah. I did think it was weird that he sang this song called "I'm Every Asian." I thought that was kind of weird.
But also applicable to the story. And it, like, the lyrics he used were very important to the plot. Mm-hmm. And you were like, oh, so they're faking being gay.
Oh, he switched all the L's for R's. Or R's for L's, whatever. Whatever racist thing Rob Schneider has to do to get a job.
Stars above, yeah.
Oh, sky of blue, sea of green.
I did laugh at the phrase homosexual garbage.
Was that one of the Oh, I got so excited I couldn't say it. Was that on the DVD cover? Was that one of the reviews on the DVD cover?
Yeah, Oprah said it was homosexual.
Yeah,
got her canceled.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure, as she should be. Yeah, well, I can't believe
maybe it was J.K. Rowling.
I can't believe that there was that was from multiple publications. The New York Times, Roger Ebert said that. I can't believe that Roger Ebert, with no jaw, came out and said this movie was homosexual garbage. That's unbelievable. Enjoy hell, Roger Ebert. You deserve it for that.
Now, homosexual garbage is, out of context, maybe one of the worst things you could ever say.
Oh, now I remember what you're talking about. I totally didn't know what you were talking about.
But there is an inspector from the insurance company that drops by their house and is going through their garbage and saying that their garbage isn't very homosexual.
They don't have homosexual garbage, you're right. And that's played by real-life hero Steve Buscemi. Yeah.
The 9/11 hero himself, Steve Buscemi.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's right up there with Hero Mayor Giuliani.
Their hair looks the same but different.
Absolutely, yeah. Homosexual garbage. And I love that they're like, we got to get some homosexual garbage. So they buy a bunch of DVDs and CDs of like Barbra Streisand things. And it's like, well, he's going to look at that and go, why did you buy these things just to throw them out? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, they probably very specifically wear them out and make it look better.
Right. Yeah, we threw out all our scratch DVDs of...
just a plastic Walmart bag with DVDs and receipts.
Unwrapped. This says they were purchased today. I know you're lying. I know you're making fake homosexual garbage.
Which I wouldn't be surprised if they do that, because their efforts to show that they are gay are suspect and terrible throughout this whole movie.
Oh, they don't try at all. No. Adam Sandler isn't even trying at all.
It's a bunch of bullcrap.
Yeah, it's homosexual garbage.
Now, don't take that soundbite and turn it into a cool little drop that you kids do nowadays.
Exactly. Don't turn it into a TikTok sound. Don't do that.
Man, my note-taking really took a dive after Girls' Day, which was very early on in this film.
Well, I don't even know what's Girls' Day?
When Adam and Jessica go on that Girls' Day and they shop and stuff.
Oh, yeah, and Dave Matthews is there, and he hits
yeah,
on
Dave
the
Matthews.
He hits on Adam Sandler for some reason.
And owns a clothing store, yep. Or works at one.
Yep, doesn't get any lines, but it's just there, and you're like, oh, Dave Matthews for no reason. That's interesting. Sure, I'm sure you were very popular at this time, I guess.
Yeah, prominent male, straight, probably middle-aged white figure.
Yeah, that's true. Can you name one Dave Matthews Band song that isn't Crash Into Me?
I couldn't name Crash Into Me.
Oh, well, it's a boy's dream. It's homosexual garbage.
I mean, that can't be the name of the episode. I know we probably want it to be.
The episode name is going to be I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, Episode 87, brackets homosexual garbage.
I don't think that's going to play well.
Well, it's going to be it's going to be the first line of the description for this episode. I'll tell you that much, in all caps with asterisks around it. The same way I put asterisks around clean podcast in our podcast description to trick people into listening to it.
Can you put in brackets, there's context for this?
Yes, of course I will do that. All caps, ass, surrounded by asterisks, surrounded by ass, homosexual garbage, brackets, there's context for this.
Don't explain what the context is or anything.
You gotta listen to the episode. You gotta listen. Trust me, listen to the episode. You'll find out what homosexual garbage is all about.
Watch the movie or listen to this episode and you will know.
Yeah, and you'll know all about it.
Did you see, now that we're winding down, mm-hmm. we're getting into our very groovy ending of our podcast, did you see our sign at the beginning of the courtroom scene, or as they're walking to the courtroom?
You bet I did. The one that said, this is homosexual garbage. No, I did see it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I was so excited. It made my day.
Hey, it's our sign!
Hey, that's us! We're in the movie!
Yeah, it should be what we're protesting with a lot at the Dolby place, but...
Yeah, we have a bunch of anti-gay signs that we hold up, and then when people confront us, we go, no, we're here protesting Dolby.
Dolby.
Too much, too little.
Soup, no soup.
Yeah, soup to nuts.
And then Lance Bass is in the movie, and what? Everybody forgives everything.
Are you kidding me?
The movie. He's at the wedding.
Oh my god! What? Oh, I really blew it. I really facialed myself on that one. I can't believe I missed Lance Bass. That's what a treat.
Because at this point of the movie, you don't know whether it was okay to make this movie at all, or
right. And then King of the Gays, Lance Bass, shows up and goes, "I christened this movie woke."
Oh. Okay, Lance Bass. Now I can feel good about watching this movie.
Yeah, they went woke, they went broke. Just like everybody else. Hey, Steve, I got a question for you. Can firefighters eat pork?
Can firefighters eat pork? Well, as you know, you need flame to eat pork. You can't eat pork raw or you'll get sick.
That's true. You shouldn't.
Because they're too smart.
Because they poop on their balls, yeah.
Yeah, pigs are super freaky smart, so we need to fire them up to eat them.
True.
And firefighters are famously anti-fire, so I don't think firefighters can eat pork.
There's nothing definitive in this movie, unless maybe something at their wedding. Ben Graham's and Nick Swartz's wedding.
Well, that was pretty definitive, but okay. Right.
I know they can eat cake. We see them eating cake at Chuck and Larry's wedding.
Okay,
but I know we're wrapping them up, but I need to mention real quick. At their wedding, when they need a witness and they just have that homeless guy and he's giving that speech about like being spied on by the government and stuff like that at their wedding, that made me laugh. That was pretty funny. Just this like guy giving this unhinged speech and then being like, "Now let's dance." And he's just doing that like Russian dance where you crouch and kick your legs out. It was really funny.
Yeah, the unhinged man in an Adam Sandler movie is going to be funny.
Yeah, he knows how to write unhinged.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I agree that I don't think firefighters can eat pork. I think it's against the laws of firefighting.
I thought you were going the other way.
I don't think so. I think that I'm with you now. I think I'm on your team.
Thank you.
Yeah. What'd you think of I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry 2007?
I say don't watch this film. You don't need to watch this film. There's no need at all. Watch a different Adam Sandler movie if you're thinking of watching an Adam Sandler movie. But all in all, perfect film. It was shot very well, edited very well, and you can't take that away from him. Now, Adam Creep.
Yeah.
Whomst did you think was this movie?
Well, thank you so much for asking. First of all, everyone should go to youtube.com/@TilaTequilaOfficial and subscribe to her YouTube page. She posts nonstop, and it's all just crazy nonsense, and I love it. She's great, and she's doing really well mentally right now, and you should all follow her and subscribe. She's the best. And other than that, I love you.
I love you.
We love you.
Quantumania. Please. Please. I'm Chiz Chizum. I'm just Chiz Chizum. I'm Chiz Chizum. I'm just Chiz Chizum. I'm Chiz Chizum.
Dr. Honey.
I'm Chiz Chizum. I'm just Chiz Chizum.